It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from BEA, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, from the Freedom's Phoenix Studios here with Jet Lacey. You know, Jet took care of us. Now we're down there. We're still working on this newfangled whippy dippy billion-dollar equipment. We're working on it. And we got a lot figured out. We had it working. We go down. What happened was we were changing corners to get to where I could hear, and I just got bumped by someone, and it released the Velcro on the unit, and it dropped, and the battery came out, so we lost connection. And we're like, oh, what do we do now, man? We got to do it all over. And it takes like 10 minutes to get the thing connected. And so Jet took care of business, and I apologize to Ken because we couldn't get you on, and I could hear through the headphones. So we're trying it with the phone. Now, to heck with it, man. We made our point. I'll go back in the studio so we can get Ken. So, Ken, I there's one of the books that you wrote before The Nation Under Surveillance was something about you and the police.
That's right.
You know, and tell us a little bit about that and why you wrote that.
That just got updated in January, so it's fully revised and added to for 2009. It's basically sort of like a pocket primer for the average man or woman going down the road, doing their own lawful, peaceful business. And if they get pulled over and they have a confrontation with police, whether they deserve it or not, what do they say? What do they do? For example, if you get pulled over for a broken taillight and the officer wants to search your trunk and gets insistent about it, can he do so? What are your rights? How do you uphold your rights and still go on your way after the scene is over? So that's been a very handy book and one of my better sellers, and has kept a lot of people from needlessly, you know, falling into the dragnet of the modern police state.
The dragnet of the modern police state. And that's what your new book is about, is how they've, you know, tightened up the weave on this net.
That's true.
So, you know, tell us a little bit. It's a short segment. We only got another minute, and then we got a longer one. We can really get into it. But,
okay.
Prep the people on what they can expect in the conversation about what the book is about and why you wrote it.
Okay. The book is called One Nation Under Surveillance, Privacy from the Watchful Eye. It's a revision of and a replacement of my 1997 privacy book called Bulletproof Privacy, How to Live Hidden, Happy, and Free. That book originally was 160-something pages. This book, One Nation Under Surveillance, is 480 pages. So it's exactly three times the size, and I've learned a lot over 12 years of the increasing dragnet of government and corporations to know everything, be all-powerful, and be everywhere. They're looking for omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. And we simply cannot trust any group of humans, whether they're government or corporations, to have the kind of power that technology is giving them and that we're allowing just by not knowing what's going on.
You know, that's one thing I want to make sure we talk about when we come back, and I'll make myself a note, is that you have not only government, you have corporations that are collecting all this information, and then you got MasterCard making this available to the man. And when you get to the point you can't tell the difference between the corporate man and the government man, that's, what do they call that? I think they call that fascism.
Yeah, very blurry line these days.
Very, very blurry. Well, we're going to clear it up and get your reading glasses on with Ken Royce when we come back here and Declare Your Independence. We'll be right back in just a little bit.
Oh, come on!
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, you guys got to go look right now. You go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and the first story is the link to this show and its archive. And you'll see the link, and you'll see comments. There's six comments. You go in there, and you scroll down, you'll see a hyperlink to the picture of Chris with his AR-15 slung over his shoulder and his Glock 17 standing there in the middle. And you'll see Thomas off to the right. We call him Morpheus. You know, you'll see Thomas off to the right there videotaping. We're going to have so many good videotapes for you guys. It's Arizona always sets the standard. Why is that? You know, Ken, you've been to Arizona. You come here for, you know, the gun shows and visit friends, and we get to visit and such, and Freedom Summit we do. And is there something different here? And you spend a lot of time in Wyoming, so I'm wondering, is Wyoming the same? Is it even more of a rights-oriented type of atmosphere and culture? And how does it compare to the rest of the nation, and why?
New state, I think it was entered statehood in, 1912? So it's less than 100 years old, so it still has a lot of the frontier mentality, which is always a good mentality to keep in your culture. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got a lot of gun manufacturers and so forth down there, so it is a very gun culture-oriented state, and lots of places to shoot in the desert. So I think just people naturally shoot and own and carry guns more in Arizona than other states. Wyoming's pretty good. We don't really have, you know, protests and things like that going on. We're just maybe a little more mellow about it, or feel less of a direct daily need for the protest, because, you know, quite frankly, Arizona's being next to California, you're in a kind of a clash of cultures.
Yeah, so, we help keep you insulated.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we got Colorado, Nevada, and Idaho, and Montana, and Wyoming. You're kind of insulated from California a little bit. We're not.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Ernie.
You know, and well, let's go ahead. One Nation Under Surveillance. Let's go ahead and scare the people. I mean, you know, sure. A lot of us, we can go on and on about all the stuff. And one of the things that a lot of people find is interesting that they didn't know was that these, they call them photo radar cameras, mm-hmm. but they're not really still cameras. They're archiving video.
Yeah, right.
You know, let's talk about how all the ways from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed that you're being surveilled. And I've seen this done for British citizens, and they're like, mm-hmm. wow, and it's coming here. What we got to worry about?
Yeah. Well, as I said earlier, whenever you have a group of people who are approaching omniscience about another group of people, the omniscient group, and today that's government and corporations, that's a huge balance of power, and it's never to be trusted, because humans have never been trustworthy with a huge balance of power over others. So, you know, you asked about a daily scenario. Well, as soon as you fire up your cell phone, that's noted by the cell phone company where you are. You get in your car, so your vector of travel is known. Your license plate is beginning to be read by automatic plate recognition software, and the cameras everywhere. Facial recognition software, it's not very good, but it's not for lack of trying, and numbers of cameras out there. And then you start plugging into the databases that you use every day, whether it's to get your internet access or your credit card or making phone calls. And all these databases are increasingly being linked and communicative with each other, that you can put quite a accurate picture of someone's life together. And conversely, you can also get an inaccurate picture by trying to fill in the gaps of what you don't know and making false assumptions, which could cause someone problems.
Now that's a very good... Now, I want to bring this up, and we'll talk about this, because I remember it was a few years ago, and I couldn't find it again. I remember we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix, and the link was dead, and the NSA, you know, they didn't appreciate the story getting out none too much. And what it was they were describing how they assimilate and then analyze all this data. Mm-hmm. Because you have, you know, pictures of people going different places, driving in different cars in different areas that right. subscribed to certain magazines that went and purchased certain, you know, material at, you know, different places to accumulate. And oh my goodness, you know, she went shopping at Bash's Safeway and can create a pipe bomb. I mean, you know, so this is that they did with their little grocery thing. She got, you know, too many cleaners.
Yeah, right. Her loyalty card. Yeah.
So what happens is they accumulate all this information, and how do they determine that it makes up a certain profile they should be worried about? Well, then they described this like table that would create a 3D map that would have mm-hmm. like a topographical map, right. and you'd have these highs and these little mountain peaks and so on. Got to go check this guy, man, or something. Ooh, got a peak over here, and then mm-hmm. you use some other kind of peaky guy with his Wi-Fi, so you're kind of connected. All of a sudden, now you're bigger peaks and whatever. Right. So they go and they look and they check these people, and they find out they're just really not threats to any. Thing and they're just people out there, so they got to change the algorithm. They got to
change the model. Yeah,
they got to change the model, and then all of a sudden you're on this table and you see that it's like a big mesa out in Monument Valley, and mm-hmm. you have the entire country is at one level. But you know, 10 years ago it would send them in the shock, and they would have brought SWAT teams.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's the entire country like that, to where you got dozens of people when they threaten and come after, and Chris Matthews is going, I can't believe you bring a GD gun to a protest and freaking out, and they go, oh yeah, well come to Arizona some bitch, see what happens. You know, so this is, you know, now they got to change their model again. Are every right. all these guys that bring a firearm down here, are they dangerous? Are they something to be worried about? Do the Phoenix police worry? No, they know us. You know, that it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. So now they got to change their model to pretty soon, you know, the model's going to be flipped, and you just turn it over and you see the other guys are the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, if the freedom culture and the gun owning culture grows, it encompasses more and more of the country, and you know, we are the country. You know, that's the ideal, and that's what we're working for. But yeah. But,
you know, that was something that you wrote in your book, Molon LeBay, which, mm-hmm. you know, my son has a hat with that slogan on it because of that. And it's, you know, I'm going, wow, that had probably a bigger impact than you thought. And describe the idea behind Molon LeBay. It's like you were talking about, you know, you have one place, kind of like a free state thing, Wyoming, to where right. you have, you know, everybody just is just a natural state of, you know, of existence, a culture, a heritage of
sure.
just wanting to be left alone. Tell us about that book.
Yeah, Molon LeBay was the result of having finished Hologram of Liberty in 1997, where I was trying to find, you know, what's our answer? What's the silver bullet? How can we take our country back? And I convinced myself that we cannot take the whole country back, because of a lot of the country doesn't want to be taken back. They like socialism, they like fascism, they like a blurred corporate government continuum, and you know, they vote too. So unfortunately, they can vote in a paradigm that is anti-libertarian. But there are enough libertarians and people like that in America, 300 million people, to converge on one or even more states that are already pretty freedom compatible, and furthering the freedom atmosphere there. And I chose Wyoming for a lot of reasons, mainly low population density, which I think is underappreciated by other Free State Project folks. And there is another, you know, the original project itself is in New Hampshire. But I started Free State Wyoming for a Western alternative for people that were never going to stay in the East or go back East.
Never.
So, never, exactly. It's just, you know, it's just a matter of taste, you know, to be simple about it. But the story behind Molon LeBay is you have about 40,000 people move into Wyoming over the course of three election cycles, and gradually, like filling up an ice cube tray, politically take over the counties. There's 23 counties in Wyoming, and half of them have less than 10,000 people. So, you know, this is a very doable thing in principle.
Has there been, you know, because I know a lot of my friends, you know, when things, a situation gets to a certain point in their state, a lot of it from California,
sure.
and they just say, you know, I'm good, I'm going to Wyoming, and they have moved there.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, have you made new friends? Do you guys have events or anything?
Oh, absolutely. We just had a couple from California move out in July, and they're originally going, in fact, signed on for New Hampshire, and changed their mind after visiting the Free State Wyoming Forum, and then coming out for a trip, I think it was in May, met a lot of people and so forth. So, yeah, people come out all the time. We've got new members every week, it seems. And I used to host the...
You have members?
Yes. Free State Wyoming members. That's
There's
right.
a list?
There's a lot. Also, a lot of people who, for privacy reasons, and this doesn't bother me at all, come to Wyoming partly because of our influence and that we're there, but never join, you know, officially, maybe not even on the forum. But however they get there, whether it's directly or indirectly through the FSW or my books, the fact that they get there, and we're concentrating our numbers where we have an environment that suits us, an environment that respects individual rights and freedoms. And, you know, why live in Massachusetts or California or Minnesota? You know, if you're a gun owner or a homeschooler or a small business person, you know, come go to another state. Go to fresher air.
No, I understand. And they're going to need to because, you know, we're getting to the point to where it's, you know, I mean, dang. You know, I want to make sure that when we come back in the next segment that we scare the people a little bit more. And scare is not necessarily the word. You need to be informed because, you know, this surveillance state that's coming is here. I mean, it's been here. A lot of times they're just changing the law to make it legal, you know.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about the enhanced driver's license and its built-in RFID chip when we come back.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Because here we had Janet Napolitano when she was governor. Oh, she didn't want real ID. And everybody, she didn't sign. Oh, that's just great. And I'm going, are you kidding me? They already have the Western Travel Trade, Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative.
Right.
You know, they already had it. They didn't need it. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what they already got. A lot of times, they just want to make it legal. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Ken Royce in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
On Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every weekday, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the RBN Network, coming to you from Freedom's Phoenix Studios here in Phoenix, Arizona. That's Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com. Now, if you go there at the top story, you go to Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock, August 17th. You click on that, and boom, I put up the picture. You see Chris there with his AR-15. Video cameras all around, people and so on. You didn't see, and behind him, you know, he's looking out towards the street. But behind him, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And they're saying we're estimating 12,000 people there. Well, I didn't see that many where I was, but there was a lot. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, they just... On AZ Central, which is part of the Arizona Republic, their website where they have their news here in Phoenix, Arizona, they interviewed him, and he declined to give his name. But, you know, he said, you know, why are you doing this? And he said, because I can. In Arizona, at least we have a few freedoms left. And then they interviewed the two police officers that are following him around, and they're like, this is perfectly legal. We're just here to intervene if things go wrong, but he is exercising his rights, and there is no problem.
And if you look at the picture, he has the AR-15 slung over his right shoulder with the muzzle down. It has a magazine in it, and it is full. He has another magazine in his left hip pocket. It is full. He has a Glock 17 on his left hip, and it's ready to go. So this is, you know, a great demonstration of what? Now, Ken, what would you see this from your perspective in Arizona? A bunch of, you know, peaceful people going out there protesting. These guys, that, you know, some of them have signs, some of them not with the firearms. Mm-hmm. They just have firearms at an event where Obama is coming in, got the Secret Service all around, guys in black suits and wearing their little, you know, presidential seal thing on and so on. And you think what when you see this?
Well, I think that... power, political power, stems from the people, certainly in this country. And it's great that once in a while the people remind their masters of that fact.
I think, and it's gone well. And what it does is it also kind of gets some of the people out of their shell. I had a gentleman, he's an activist in camera fraud, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's he calls and he says, oh, I'm just conflicted, or I'm not sure, should I go, should I not go? I'm going... Are you kidding me? When does it get better? I mean, we have Obama coming. It's been a national issue. It's legal here in Arizona. We have already contacted the police department. They're going to be there to protect our rights. They know they're there to help us. Mm-hmm. You got Chris coming with his AR-15, and what are you going to bring? Your howitzer or something? I mean, what do you got? What do you? I mean, when is it going to be the right time?
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, get out of this freaking programming that they got you in. And I tell you, one of the people that really opened my eyes to how much we were programmed from the very beginning. You know, it was a counter-revolution to the Revolution of Declaration of Independence when they did the Constitution. It was Hamilton wanting to just, you know, get us back on the plantation so they can fleece us for a, you know, a national bank or, you know, to get the bankers there. It was you. I mean, you know, hologram of liberty. I just keep picking it up, and I never even read it from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's always somebody send me a quote from it, or I have it sitting there, and it's by, and I take it to the bathroom with me. You know, I got to sit down and read the whole thing. But what I have sat there and read and different things I wanted to go find or referencing, I'm just going, wow, wow. I'm afraid to read it. I might have another revolution.
Yeah, it was a depressing book to write, and someone jokingly told me recently, damn you for writing that book.
Because a lot of people, they consider the Constitution as like a holy document. I'm like, man, if I was God, man, don't be blaming me for that crap. I didn't do that. And what
I mean, if the actual words on the paper were as good as the mythology surrounding the document, it would be as good as we think. And it's very good in a lot of ways, but it was undermined intentionally within the convention by some of its authors to allow the federal government to eventually grow in supremacy over the states.
Which was the whole point for them to do it. The entire focus of the reason they did the Constitution was to give more central power. And when
the
libertarians of the day went, oh, heck no. You got Patrick Henry and Paine and Thomas Paine and Jefferson, all these guys going, whoa, what the heck are you doing? And they go, oh, okay, we'll do this Bill of Rights thing to shut you up.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, that was a compromise. No more compromise. Now they're just ignoring that, so we're like, we're done. We're taking our firearms to protest
with
the president.
Yeah, but for those of you interested in the whole state sovereignty resolutions, made in Montana firearms, made in Tennessee firearms, next year made in Wyoming firearms, I've got a good treatment on the 10th Amendment and how far that will get us. That's in Hologram of Liberty, and nothing I would update even 12 years later. So just I toss that out as an aside.
Yeah, no, and I want to get the next segment is 18 minutes, so we're going to have plenty of time to get into the driver's licenses, enhanced driver's licenses, and so on. And and what do you think we're going to talk about that? You know, wet the whistle a little bit here.
The enhanced driver's license is basically beyond the real ID, which Janet Napolitano of DHS is moving away from, to go to the enhanced driver's license, which has a built-in RFID chip. And the RFID chip is basically transmitting information about who you are and what you are over distance without your knowledge and consent by anybody with the correct reader to read that license. And that's very, very dangerous.
Now, and we've had on the internet gentlemen that have demonstrated this. There was one young guy in San Francisco sat there on Fisherman's Wharf waiting for somebody to come by and go, ding, gotcha, the goodies, just to show that you can. Well, we're in trouble, and we're going to have Ken Royce help us figure it out. And you know him as Boston Tea Party. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
It's me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios. This is an interesting day. What we're going to do is, Dean Pleasant has just come in from the protest down there. You may remember him as Dean Viper Militia Pleasant, that, you know, was on the short end of, you know, when the government tries to get all funky with your rights. And what happened, I talked to the Phoenix Police Department, the Confrontation Prevention Squad,
and a guy, Al Ramirez, that I know, and I said, look, man, we went through this 15 years ago. I know where this is going, and we need to make sure that, you know, we avoid this. You just protect our rights, and it'll be all good. So that's what they decided to do this time, because I think what's happening out there, Ken, is they're starting to feel the resistance of the people. They're starting to feel that, you know, the police officers aren't getting the respect, as, you know, even the respect, the badge, and like, why? When was the last time I was supposed to do that? And they're starting to feel it, so they want to be on our side. Now, let's get right to this enhanced driver's license thing. What I want to do before we go to Dean is I want to make sure that we understand just how much we're interfacing with them, because it's not just government. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, corporate getting all our goodies, too, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But tell us about the driver's licenses now.
Well, the real, let me backtrack just a little bit. Before the enhanced driver's license was what's called the Real ID, and it was basically a homogenization of ID technology amongst the states and, quite frankly, amongst other countries. They swore it was not biometric, but quite frankly, the digital photograph was of such high quality and was readable by a biometric software package that, you know, for all practical purposes, it was a digital biometric photo. Basically, your face is now a number under new driver's license issuing technology. And then, curiously, the feds and a lot of the states backed off from pushing Real ID, which does exist in a lot of states, not all of them, in exchange for something called the enhanced driver's license. And basically, it's the same thing, but with an RFID chip embedded in it, which can be read over a distance. And at first, the government poo-pooed the idea that it could be read over a distance. Oh, it's just a few inches, only when you read it, you know, move it past our reader. No, it can be read over many yards, dozens of yards, by very simple technology, reading technology, and this is all over the Internet and YouTube with videos of it, and I've got the links to that. What's dangerous about that, Ernie, is that they can, for example, go to a gun show. An agent with ATF can go to a gun show with a reader in his backpack and see who is there and make note, computerized note of who is there, who's traveling with each other, okay, because they can note proximity of individuals and so forth. Tie all that into cars parked in the parking lot. They could do that at the tea parties. Who showed up at these things? Right? If you've got your enhanced driver's license on you, your identity is known without your knowledge. The other really nasty thing about this is that they're eventually going to tie in your medical records and purchase records and everything tied into that. So the omniscience level of government will go up quite a bit. And, you know, what about vaccinations? Have you had your mandatory vaccination go through a checkpoint? They know who's in the car without them having formally identified themselves. They also know who hasn't had their vaccination. And if it's law at that time that you have to have your H1N1, you know, vaccine, they could pull you out and say, get it now or go to quarantine.
And, you know, a lot of people worry that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, the one thing, I remember it was 06 or 07, they were doing facial recognition on everybody that went to the Super Bowl.
They tried that. It was very ineffective. A lot of false positives and so forth, so.
But they tried. If they can, they are.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And it's going to keep getting better, and it's going to keep getting done. And you know, and that's one thing that they'll argue. That's one of the mistakes I think a lot of people make. They'll go, "Oh, it's a false positives." It's, you know, see, you're going to get the wrong guy. And I'm going.
Wrong argument. Yeah,
that's the wrong. I'm worried about the accuracy.
The fact that they're trying. I think that they're going to the RFID. Driver's license because facial recognition was so ineffective. You know what they want is, it's called Human ID. Let's see, what was the name of that organization? It was the Information Awareness Office.
Total Information Awareness.
Yeah, they pioneered a big study about identifying people at a distance, and since facial recognition is so problematic, I think that's why they've gone to the RFID chip in your driver's license of the near future, which you're mandated to carry with you, so that they can still identify you at a distance, though with a different technology.
Well, here in Arizona, you don't have to have your license with you unless you're, you're operating a vehicle. Because when they do this papers, please thing, we went through this with one of our videographers, 4409, Shelton. We went to Scottsdale Court. Five charges, you know, of him. You know, he was videotaping a protest. Right. They came up, didn't get any of the protesters, arrested him for being on the sidewalk, but he refused to supply ID. He gave his name and birthday. You know, that's the law here. You got to identify yourself, but you don't have to give him any ID. And they,
which is different, right?
Well, they freaked. You know, they and so. But the thing was, in the trial, the officer, well, I like to have a baseline of who I'm dealing with, and so on. Well, it's not the law; they're not required. That's, you know, in our law, it's very specific, and the judge. There was a rule move for a Rule 20 or 21 dismissal. Just that we should have never been here. They knew better. And the judge goes like this: on one, the last count for failure to show an ID, he goes to the office to the prosecutor and he says, "This is the judge," and he goes, "Well, I'm willing to entertain an argument that the mere dispatch of an officer to a scene is enough evidence of a crime that then you can ask everybody for ID."
My gosh.
And everybody was kind of like looking at each other, and the prosecutor was like, "No, you didn't get that argument from me, man."
Right.
And finally, it's dismissed, you know. And it was all a deal behind the scenes with the prosecutor's office, with the judge. They were going to get something out of this because, we had made fun of them and so on, and they had to get some payback. Well, what happened was they finally dismissed everything, and the whole group of us, there's half a dozen of us sitting there in the courtroom, and nobody's cheering, nobody's yay, that's it, it's over. And we're looking at each other and we're like, "What the heck did we just see?" You know, this is amazing, and this is what we're talking about with law enforcement, saying the justice in the system, the just common sense is not there anymore. There's no respect for law and order, where the heck that is, you know, as if the two went together. And the thing is you're going, what's the next step? So from someone with your perspective that thinks about these things, writes novels about these things, you know, you see this kind of oppressive, militarized state coming against the individual and wanting to track every move. You know, there's going to be a pushback. And the kind of things that went on today, there's a little pushback. We kind of, you know, controlled it to where it wasn't, you know, everybody got all freaked out and somebody did something stupid. But, you know, the thing is that there's going to be something happen. And this is what you write about. What do you think is going to happen? And what stage?
Who knows? The government, quite frankly, exhibits paranoia tendencies. You know, they call us paranoid for, you know, being survivalist or owning a gun or clinging to God and religions and guns and groceries and gold and so forth. But quite frankly, it's the government who's paranoid. Okay, imagining enemies and lone wolf terrorists and organizing Al-Qaeda as if it's some, you know, organized network, which I doubt it is. They're the ones that are paranoid, seeing potential enemies under every rock. If you read the DHS report about militias and people that they're concerned about, it's all this breathless panting about potential this, and they could be this, and, you know, their emotions could go here, and all this. Supposition, okay, but they're acting off this supposition, and unfortunately, it's in contravention of common law, which treats people only if they're suspected or convicted of a common law crime. Now we've got a legal system which is regulating and incarcerating people based on what they might do. Okay,
we're
getting
we're
back
afraid.
To the license. Yeah, they're afraid. They are afraid, and, you know, they know better than us why they should be afraid, because they don't have a plan for us.
Jet wants to say something real quick. Go ahead, Jet.
I have a caveat. As a caveat to what you were saying, is the liberal blogs and the USA Today are absolutely freaking out over what Chris is doing. I'm sort of following on the internet while I'm listening to the show and working the board. But
there with his AR-15.
Yeah, they're saying, "Man with assault rifle joins crowds outside President's Phoenix venue."
Are they saying black man?
No, they sort of left that bad boy out, but you know, a little detail, but they're absolutely wigging. It's great.
You know, the one thing that I saw an interesting thing, and one of the more evidence of them amping this up, is we had the Southern Poverty Law Center come here last week, and Jet and one of the other gentlemen went down to videotape it and talk and interviewed the woman from there. And this is a new phrase, and you'll get a kick out of this. White Al-Qaeda is coming. It's white Al-Qaeda. And I'm like going, okay, first, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
You know, but they're having that's what they're afeared of. We're afeared. And you got to ask why. It's the same thing that they're going, but they want to harm us. And I'm going, you know, these guys in the Middle East, and I'm going, well, God, we probably wouldn't like people attempting, you know, from another land with military guys on corners with M16s and 50 calibers on their Humvees, socially and economically engineering us,
yeah,
either. You know, so then you have people that are actually resisting that kind of thing. They want to, you know, they already nationally socialized the entire freaking economy with the help of Republicans. Heck, mm-hmm. It was Republicans during the Republicans administration. And then you have the Democrats come in, and they're going to try and do it another big giant bucket of money they're going to try and create around this healthcare thing.
It's just a pincer attack, you know, the right moves, the left moves, you know, it's all a pincer attack around our same neck.
Against the individual. You know, I have interviews. We're going to be doing some of the interviews I did before the show, the live show started, and we'll have those in the archive later today. And the interviews, I'm talking to a lot of these people that were articulate, young, you know, enthusiastic for getting health care done, and their biggest argument is that, well, the right want to keep their Social Security and Medicaid, Medicare, and all these other social programs, but they don't want anything that, you know, for us, the next generation, you know, this kind. So the thing was is that the principle's already been violated. We're going to steal from people, so we want to get some for us. And they're right. You know, I'm going, you're talking to a libertarian, man. I'm not arguing with you on this one. You know, you're absolutely right. You have the other side that are not arguing the principle because they can't. They don't want to argue the principle of stop stealing from people and redistributing it for whatever reason because they got their own, you know, programs of military, industrial, social welfare, kind of corporate welfare thing, redistribution plan of their own.
Right. You know, a great background book on all this, especially if someone's hearing this sort of for the first time and going, wow, this sounds pretty, you know, dramatic, you know, conspiracy and all that. Read John Taylor Gatto, G-A-T-T-O, his book called The Underground History of American Education. It explains in wonderful detail, and he's a superb author, how this country was engineered since basically the late 1800s to have a working class kind of slave cog in the machine mentality through taking away our education privately and replacing it with factory schooling, so to speak. But there's a lot of good meat on the bone as far as understanding how all this happened. And this is why we have a large percent of the populace that doesn't understand what's going on. Even if you give them all my books or give them Gatto's books, or I mean, they just don't see it. They're
going to live
the Matrix.
It. They're going to live it. It's coming. And John Taylor Gatto is another one of the speakers at the Freedom Summit this December
5th and 6th. He alone is worth going to the summit for.
It's he's been, you know, and he's getting older, and we want to make sure we got him, you know,
absolutely,
before he's gone. Because, you know, he's been a hero of so many people, and they see that name up there, and we got a lot of other big names, including yourself, and they are just, wow, man, this summit is going to be, it's freedomsummit.com, and you go to the speaker list, and you'll see that, and Boston Tea is on there, too. Now, one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is, in addition to them wanting to get as much information on our driver's license, of course, and then being able to read it,
right,
how do we have something to worry about private corporations? You know, are they just in the pocket of, or are they, you know, it's like AT&T just, oh heck, we, you know, we don't need to just give you all the information in our database on the personal information they filled out, get their phone, we'll just let you tap into the line here, you can just listen to them.
Oh, they do. AT&T, I think it was, got busted for doing just that, having a room for the NSA and I think of their San Francisco switching node. You know, a room where all the traffic, all the content was shunted to the government. So, they'll turn over. Yeah, they'll turn over all this customer information.
Well, what kind
government.
Of information are they getting in your book? What do you describe as something we should worry about and know about?
Well, as far as, you know, whom you deal with, corporations and your contracts, if you have some privacy measures in place beforehand, such as, number one, not using your home address for what you do and how you order things and where the cell phone company thinks you live or even your driver's license records. I mean, why have your home there? You know, if you can own your home in a third-party entity, a trust, an LLC, a corporation, there's many ways to do that. It's perfectly legal. It protects you against frivolous lawsuits and so forth. And it gives you a huge amount of privacy. So start to protect what information routinely goes out about you and your family, where you live, what you own, where you shop, how you travel, and so forth. I mean, you can't be totally private anymore. I'm the first one to admit that. But you don't have to be this fish in a fishbowl.
A neon flashing light for the man.
Exactly.
Right. Over here, over here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing that I did want to, you know, let the audience know is that for as long as I've known you since the mid early 90s, mm-hmm. You've come out of your shell a little bit more. I mean, you start, you know, saying everybody come over here to Wyoming, then you kind of get out on the top of the list there. But I mean, you've been a very, very, very private individual as far as linking your name with Boston Tea Party. When did that start to change? I mean, you started to loosen up a little bit.
Well, I mean, after a point, enough people had seen me in public, you know, at gun shows or speaking events or something like that, that, you know, what was the point anymore of trying to remain quite so private? You know, either, you know, be a hermit and, you know, write your books from your cave kind of thing, or if you're going to be out and around, expect a bit of loss of privacy. So I just came to terms with that and, you know, moved on.
Well, I'm glad you did, because we needed you out here with us, man. You know, we're at the protest with the Secret Service with our ARs.
Right.
Where's Boston?
Yeah, I really admire the courage of that man wearing his rifle over his shoulder. I don't know if I'd have done that. I mean, I'd have shown up wearing my handgun, but, you know, rifle, that took a lot of balls.
Young guys don't know any better.
Exactly. And in a way, a lot of this is a young man's game. So we need more young people in here who, you know, are willing to take some chances.
You know, I was them 15 years ago, and now I'm, you know, I'm good. You know, I did my bit, but I'm glad that he did it. We wanted to make sure he's fully informed. I made sure that, man, you are on your own. I'm not babysitting. So he understood, and he has expanded freedom for us all, as has Ken Royce. We'll be right back and talk about some more.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
That it's all about the sorrow. Is it really that bad? I mean, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. You know, the thing is, we here at Freedom's Phoenix are just telling you how it is and what you can do and the examples you get from a lot of people of what's being done. And if you just aren't afraid, they just want you afraid. They want you, you know, it's like watching V for Vendetta. Mm-hmm. I want them to know why they need us.
Exactly.
What if we don't need them? You know, real quick, Ken.
That scares them. Yeah.
Real quick, Ken, I want to go to Dean, and he just came from down there. Just give us a 90-second update of what was going on.
Well, you've already given the big news, which was Chris down there with his AR-15 and everybody taking pictures of him. The police were very professional, very friendly. Nothing got out of hand. There was one shoving match that almost got out of hand between some fellow with a donkey hanging an effigy, but that didn't really go anywhere. What you will see reported on the news tonight, what happened early there, was the Democrats, progressives outnumbered the conservatives, the Republicans, about 5-1 at first, early in the morning when they first got off the buses. But that was because J.D. Hayworth was giving a speech or speechifying somewhere down at a place called Tom's Tavern, and all the conservatives were down there listening to him. Once he stopped talking, which was around 9 o'clock, 9:30, they all finally migrated back down there to face off across the street from the Democrats, and then it was about even.
So now, yeah, they'd come down and see libertarians already had it all cleared for them. We took point. we got all the press, but the thing that wasn't really our goal, and I just refused it. I'm there with headphones doing a live radio show, and they're all gathering around wanting to talk. I don't want to talk to them because they're not going to say what's really going on anyway. And we're looking forward to having Ken Royce, Boston Tea Party, at the Freedom Summit this December, and to talk about a nation under surveillance and a lot of his other, because you always give a great presentation, because it's not all hype. hyped or anything. It's just, look, this is the way it is. This is where we're going.
Yeah.
But before you leave, I want to get your perspective, though.
How much time do we have? There's something
You have about none. You know,
okay.
About a minute. Go ahead, man.
Okay. You asked me by email to follow up on the rumor that Department of Homeland Security had blacklisted Boston's Gun Bible. I spoke to the bookstore owner, and it is true. She said the book is red-listed by Homeland Security, and they've intimidated the bookstore through one of their employees not to order or carry it. And I have the transcript of that conversation on the High Road Forum and also in Free State Wyoming's forum. So I'm offering a $500 reward for anybody that gives me hard proof, whether it's a copy of a letter or a recording of any further intimidation by any government agent against the ordering or carrying of any of my books.
Oh, you know you want to be on that list.
Mm,
you know, you get street cred for that one, because after this is over, because, you know, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first, and we're trying to keep it unmessy.
That's right.
You know, keep it fun and keep it light and keep it entertaining and keep it peaceful, because I'm telling you, it's coming. We're going to have an economic decline to a point that people are going to be looking for food, and maybe they'll be armed. Maybe they'll be willing to take it from someone that won't be able to resist them as much. Then what? Where's law enforcement then? Law enforcement's all bunkered in trying to take care of them.
Protecting their family, yeah.
Yeah, dang skippy they are. Hey, Ken, thanks for coming out. Sorry about the confusion at the beginning. We were trying to get you on with this whole thing, but we did what we could, and we're glad that you're patient with us.
It worked out.
It was
a great show. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to being at Freedom Summit in December. Meanwhile, JavelinPress.com is my website.
JavelinPress.com. Thank you very much, Ken, and we'll see you on the radio again tomorrow morning on Declare Your Independence. Well, we'll be talking about all of the news that we generated today. It just always comes from Phoenix, doesn't it? We'll talk about it then.